7,000 votes? What? 7,000 votes out of nowhere. Holy mackerel. Wow. Breaking. Just as we go to air tonight, the race in Wisconsin for Supreme Court that we've been following all week has suddenly changed dramatically. And boy, is there some backstory here that I got to tell you about, which I will in a moment. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com. I am your friendly investigative citizen blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker. And yes, election integrity advocate. Drafted into duty once again from BradBlog.com, right here to be the broadcast media, coast to coast and around the globe tonight on the Mike Malloy Show as the Mike and Kathy Malloy's spring break week continues. You know, I think that I have a feeling that Mike purposely, he knows what's going on when he leaves town. He knows the stuff that's about to hit the fan, and he says, "Well, let Brad take care of it." Holy mackerel. So I'm going to get to this news out of Wisconsin momentarily that is pretty extraordinary, and the backstory, 14,000 votes have suddenly been found in this Wisconsin election for Supreme Court that has become a proxy battle between supporters of Governor Walker and the union folks. And Governor Walker's guy, Justice David Prosser, who had been, he had been trailing yesterday by 204 votes. Suddenly he's up by 7,000 votes after the county clerk in Waukesha County found some 14,000 votes, giving Prosser a 7,000-vote lead. And guess what? This county clerk, Kathy Nicholas, is not just a Republican activist, but she has been under fire for some time. We have been covering her at BradBlog.com going back a year or two now when it was discovered she was doing things. She has, we'll call them unusual election procedures. Among those unusual procedures, she keeps all the election results only on a single PC in her office that no one else has access to. Yeah. So, obviously, this is raising some eyebrows tonight. This is breaking just as we go to air. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit with John Washburn, a Wisconsin election integrity advocate and a Republican, one I've known for quite a while. Was going to have him on to talk about Wisconsin anyway and some concerns of quote-unquote voter fraud that our friends over at Fox, like John Fund, have been making a raising. And so we were going to talk to him about that. We still will about all of this. But first, more news, of course, out of D.C. right now as the showdown continues for a budget for 2010. Is that what is it? 2011, right? Is that what year this is? Yeah, 2011 for the remaining 7 months as we are nearing a budget, a government, a federal government shutdown. So will this be averted? Can it be averted at this point? That's what we're about to find out right now, maybe from Slate journalist and blogger Dave Weigel. He's also an MSNBC contributor. We're delighted he's able to join us tonight on the Mike Malloy Show to bring us the latest on whatever the hell is going on in Washington, D.C. Hey, Dave, welcome to the Malloy Show, sir.
Oh, hey, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being had. Great to have you. I tell you, I've been so busy in this with this breaking Wisconsin news over the past hour that I don't even know the latest in D.C., so I'm really glad you're here to tell us. Where are we? Will we avoid a government shutdown? And if not, why not at this point?
Oh, I mean, I would love it if the solution to the shutdown was locked on somebody's computer. I mean, that's a good way to solve a problem. We've been for a couple of days, although it really does seem from the tone people are using and from kind of the incentives they all have that there's more interest in crafting some kind of argument, agreement that lets people save face, but like at the last minute. And the last minute would be tomorrow night before midnight, basically. If they could come up with something before then they're okay. Until then, there's just a ton of preening and posturing.
If they do come up, and we can talk about the specifics in a minute, but if they do come up with an agreement, will there even be time for the process to move both through the House and the Senate and get to the president's desk before the shutdown actually occurs?
Depends what you mean by that. I mean, the Republicans have a rule where legislation needs to come to the floor 72 hours before, or sorry, needs to be public 72 hours before it's on the floor. They can waive that, though. And also, whatever problems there are with employees getting their checks, things staying open, they're kind of mitigated by this being a weekend. They're also mitigated by the fact that the military, which is a real contentious part of this, Republicans might help pass a bill that gets them their paychecks anyway. If they don't, that still they're going to be paid up through what they've been owed. They're just not, you know, they might be victimized if the thing goes more than like a week. So none of these are great answers. It's all very much in flux. And the most anyone can say is that it looks, you know, it sounds like people are getting closer to something when they're coming. You know, actually, the way I like to hear people talk about this is the less you hear a leak from a meeting, the more successful the meeting was.
Okay.
People start leaking at a meeting if they want to trash each other and get an advantage. And if there's a meeting tonight, the White House doesn't have a ton of leaks, and that was a good sign.
And it hasn't had a ton of leaks at this point, right?
Well, yeah. Okay. This one hasn't, and they haven't had time to trash it yet.
Okay, so the military will get paid either way, because that has been a card that both sides really have been playing here. They're going to get paid either way, even though it may be delayed, depending on how things are going. But in the meantime, we should point out that Congress and the President of the United States continue to get paid no matter what, even if there is a government shutdown, correct?
That is true. I mean, there'll be essential employees on the Hill and who might not get paid, and the members of Congress will get paid for filling this. And there's been various face-saving bills to make sure they don't. I think basically everyone who's interested in getting reelected has signed on to that. But that's just kind of a chimera. I mean, saving the government a little money is a nice gesture. There's always people who said they're going to donate their salaries to charity if there's a shutdown. But it's kind of a ruse. I mean, like, what needs to happen is that Republicans realize they only control part of the legislative process, cave on a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats who've already been caving on everything, cave a little more, and then they agree.
Yeah.
It's just really, yeah, there's a few policy issues that if the Republicans drop, this thing will be sorted.
We're speaking with Slate.com's Dave Weigel. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, and I forgot to mention the Bradblog.com chat room is open right now. If you want to stop on by there, we'd love to see you over there. Dave, can John Boehner actually stand up to the Tea Party, or is it completely the Tea Party, whoever the Tea Party may be at this point? I don't even know who the hell they are. Can he stand up to them, or are they the ones calling the shots here, period?
He can't look like he's standing up to him exactly, and he can't, but he's looking more and more like he's going to do it. And the thing is, this agreement can't happen except for the last minute. But happens before that, looks like he's caved. The other thing is, he's in a box in a couple of ways, but if you talk to members, Republican members of Congress, very few of them are completely obstinate and say they won't support anything less than what they passed in the House. I mean, they're less. This reminds me in some ways of when Democrats in the House passed the public option part of health care.
Right.
Said they would never support anything less than that. Then when it became clear the only way to avoid, you know, fumbling the entire ball was passing the Senate version, they did that. The same thing. I was talking to members today who were saying, look, you know, I want everything, but if we can't, one guy was telling me he would take you know, maybe more cuts without the policy stuff or fewer cuts with the policy stuff. Other members were telling me they just wanted to make the biggest cuts possible. Like, there's maneuverability in the conference. The problem for Boehner that he still hasn't quite sorted out, and I think that is meant to make him look like he's uncompromising, is that there are reports that he does not want to pass anything unless he gets most of the Republicans in the House support it. Like, if he wants a bill that passes because all the Republicans supported it and some Democrats.
Okay.
It would be much easier for him to get a compromise with, you know, maybe 150 Republicans and enough Democrats to pass it. That's what happened with the last continuing resolution.
Right.
If they buckle on that, then that's another way to get this done. There's lots of paths for them to get this done.
Dave Weigel, who are these demonstrators, as far as you can tell, who have been out at the Capitol? There, you know, haven't been a lot of them, about, you know, 100 or 200. You know, I think back to the 2000 election in Florida, and, you know, you had the sort of rent-a-mob going on. Is that what we're looking at with these demonstrators out front, or are these real, actual grassroots citizens calling for the government to be shut down?
They're real citizens who've been saying that since, you know, 2009. They're not new. I mean, a lot of liberal readers complained to me that I spent more time covering these guys and the rest of the media spent more time and energy covering these guys last week and this week than they spent covering union protests. I mean, the difference is these guys are playing a role in this fight because they're giving Republicans, one, some backup, mm-hmm. to a big problem, because every day there's a photo on the front page of one of the Hill newspapers of some guy with a tri-cornered hat and breeches holding a sign to shut it down. But they are real, you know, flesh and blood Tea Party activists, and I recognize some. Most of the leadership has been very on message. Like, Tea Party leadership have said what Republicans are saying, which was, oh, well, despite what we were saying throughout 2010, if there's a shutdown, it's the Democrats' fault. But the people in the rank and file are saying we would be happy with the shutdown, and that complicates the Republicans' a message a little bit. I mean, it's not the biggest problem. It's a big problem for them.
It seems like a big problem for them because it seems like the folks, at least in the Tea Party, don't care if this thing is shut down. And very quickly, before I let you go here, Dave, you mentioned the policy stuff, and I guess we're talking about the riders, the no funding of Planned Parenthood and NPR and the EPA. Yeah. Are these riders or any of them going to pass, or don't they have to go by the wayside for there to be any deal here?
Well, Democrats have been saying all day today, and they said before this, that that's the only way that a deal will happen. If they take these out, they allow separate votes on them, and they'll fail, you know, because Democrats still run the Senate. The president still has the veto pen. It's just Republicans are definitely waiting until last possible minute to scrap that stuff. And, again, I've talked to members who said, you know, they'd be willing to give up the policy riders if they get more cuts. It is the thing. I mean, the Tea Party is social conservative, and the Tea Party is interested in cutting NPR and things like that we don't think are that important. Mm-hmm. But they are much more existentially interested in just cutting as much as possible. But, yeah, it's possible for these to be taken out. Like, Democrats didn't give a lot of away today because, frankly, they're waiting for meetings to produce some result, I mean, meetings between Boehner, Reid, and Obama. But it's pretty clear that if some option exists for them to, you know, cut stuff they like, but not NPR, not Planned Parenthood, they'll do it. I mean, one Democrat I was talking to today was pointing out stuff in the previous continuing resolutions that he had introduced, you know, funding for national parks and things like that,
right,
that he'd put in the budget last year, and he was agreeing to take them out in order to make the government keep working.
Well.
So that's the attitude of the Democrats. They're much more compromised. Because, frankly, they're more interested in the government working than Republicans are.
Yeah.
I don't think that's... It might be controversial to say it now. They might not say it out loud, but, you know, catch a Republican when he's not in front of a TV camera, and that's what he thinks.
Well, good to know. In 10 seconds here, will we avoid a shutdown, or are we heading towards at least a short shutdown, Dave Weigel? I know you're not a genie.
I'm not a genie. Look, I'll just get back to me after I check within my secret computer.
Okay, very good. Yeah, check in the Microsoft Access database. There'll be answers there. Dave Weigel of Slate.com, really appreciate it. Great talking to you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Much more straight ahead. We got to wait. Okay, well, we're going to come back. When we come back here, we'll have news on Wisconsin on this incredible story tonight. 14,000 votes discovered, giving David Prosser, Justice David Prosser, Scott Walker's man, a 7,000-vote lead in Waukesha County. I keep calling it Waukesha. Waukesha County. Where you've got, a rather controversial county clerk, to say the least. I'll have a few words about that after this short break, and then we will come back with John Washburn with a lot of words about what's going on in Wisconsin. Our phone number tonight, 877-520-1150. Find us on the Twitters at The Brad Blog, or just stop by bradblog.com and join the chat room. We'd love to see you there. Big show. Stay tuned.
Jesus Christ. Hey!
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. We ran long in that last segment with Dave Weigel on the D.C. Budget Battle Showdown. So I've got just a minute or so here to set things up. And then we'll be back with John Washburn out of Wisconsin, the election integrity advocate, on the breaking news this afternoon that this nail-biter of an election, Wisconsin Supreme Court election, which has become a proxy battle between Governor Walker and those the union folks and the people who oppose having their rights taken away by legislation. This battle, which was this election, which was just 200 votes out of 1.5 million had separated the two as of yesterday, has suddenly taken a strange turn in Waukesha County, where some 14,000 votes were suddenly found blamed on a computer Microsoft Access database error by County Clerk Kathy Nicholas, a Republican activist and a longtime controversial character in Waukesha County. We're going to have a lot more on that straight ahead. Oh, yeah, that's given 7,000-vote lead to David Prosser. Much more on that straight ahead. Stay with us. Mike Malloy, we're going to speak about Wisconsin with John Washburn in just a moment, and that breaking news. But the President Barack Obama is now stepping out to speak about the budget stalemate.
The House and the Senate, as well as the White House staff, have been working very hard to try to narrow the differences. We made some progress today. Those differences have been narrowed. And so once again, the staff is going to be working tonight around the clock in order to see if we can finally close a deal. But there are still a few issues that are outstanding. They're difficult issues. They're important to both sides. And so I'm not yet prepared to express wild optimism. But I think we are further along today than we were yesterday. I want to reiterate to people why this is so important. We're now less than 30 hours away from the government shutting down. That means, first of all, 800,000 families, our neighbors, our friends, who are working hard all across the country in a whole variety of functions, they suddenly are not allowed to come to work. It also means that they're not getting a paycheck. That obviously has a tremendous impact. You then have millions of more people who end up being impacted because they're not getting the services from the federal government that are important to them. So small businesses aren't seeing their loans processed. Folks who want to get a mortgage through the FHA may not be able to get it. And obviously that's not good as weak as this housing market is. You've got people who are trying to get a passport for a trip that they've been planning for a long time. They may not be able to do that. So millions more people will be significantly inconvenienced in some ways. They may end up actually seeing money lost or opportunities lost because of a government shutdown. And then finally, there's going to be an effect on the economy overall. Earlier today, one of our nation's top economists said, and I'm quoting here, the economic damage from a government shutdown would mount very quickly. And the longer it dragged on, the greater the odds of a renewed recession. We've been working very hard over the last 2 years to get this economy back on its feet. We've now seen 13 months of job growth, 1.8 million new jobs. We had the best report, jobs report that we've seen in a very long time just this past Friday. For us to go backwards because Washington couldn't get its act together is unacceptable. So, again, 800,000 federal workers and their families impacted, millions of people who are reliant on government services not getting those services, businesses, farmers, veterans, and finally, overall impact on the economy that could end up severely hampering our recovery and our ability to put people back to work. That's what's at stake. That's why it's important to the American people. That's why I'm expecting that as a consequence of the good work that's done by our staffs tonight, that we can reach an agreement tomorrow. But let me just point out one last thing. What I've said to the Speaker and what I've said to Harry Reid is because the machinery of the shutdown is necessarily starting to move, I expect an answer in the morning. My hope is that I'll be able to announce to the American people sometime relatively early in the day that a shutdown has been averted, that a deal has been completed that has very meaningful cuts in a wide variety of categories that helps us move in the direction of living within our means, but preserves our investments in things like education and innovation, research, that are going to be important for our long-term competitiveness. That's what I hope to be able to announce tomorrow. There's no certainty yet, but I expect an answer sometime early in the day. All right? Thank you very much, everybody.
What are the outstanding issues? Going to Indianapolis?
Looks like the president is not going to take any questions there from the press. That was President Barack Obama speaking in the White House press room just now on the odds of the government shutting down tomorrow night at midnight. As talks continue at this hour, he says that tonight his conversations with Speaker Boehner and Senator Harry Reid, he says, quote, "We made some progress, that the differences have been narrowed. A few issues are still outstanding," he said, and that he's not prepared to express wild optimism about averting a shutdown, which will occur Friday night at midnight Eastern time if a deal is not reached. The president also said that the longer a shutdown drags on, the higher the odds of a new recession occurring, and spoke about real economic impacts that could occur if they are not able to find a deal. All right, we'll keep our eyes on that situation. If there's any more breaking news, we'll bring it to you. But now back to the other breaking news tonight that we were about to cover. I'm joined now by election integrity advocate with Fair Elections of Wisconsin, John Washburn. He is an award-winning open records activist, a 2008 James Madison Award he received from the Freedom of Information Foundation of Texas, and he is a Ron Paul Republican. John, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Good to talk to you again, Brad.
I
wonder if the wireless wiretapping program will shut down.
Oh, yeah. Don't even get me started. John Washburn, we had actually talked to earlier today before this breaking news out of Wisconsin. And if you'll allow me, let me just get folks up to date on this. I just wanted to get to you quickly since I had bump you there.
Since we talked.
I had a bump you there for the president. So here's what we know now at this hour. Breaking news just an hour or so before airtime tonight out of Waukesha County, Wisconsin, where the county clerk there, Kathy Nicholas, a Republican, says that suddenly she found some 14,315 votes in the city of Brookfield. Now, this is in the Wisconsin Supreme Court election that has been a proxy battle between the supporters of Governor Walker and the union folks. Basically, the Wisconsin Supreme Court right now has a 4-3 majority for the Republicans, and Justice David Prosser, who just 6 weeks ago or so was figured to be a shoe-in for this usually sleepy Supreme Court election, suddenly this became a real contest as Joanne Kloppenburg, the assistant attorney general there, was suddenly taken up as, representing the unions and everybody else, although she said she represents an independent judiciary. Prosser has allied himself with Walker. Okay, as of yesterday, big election, 1.5 million votes cast, and there was just a 204 vote margin between the two. That changed this afternoon when Waukesha County Clerk Kathy Nicholas said that she failed to save in her computer and consequently report some 14,315 votes that were cast in the city of Brookfield, and she omitting them entirely in an unofficial tally released after Tuesday's election. The new totals give us 10,800 votes more to Prosser, and who's from Brookfield. Oh, no, the votes come from Brookfield, and about 3,500 more votes to Kloppenburg. That gives Prosser then the lead in this race by some 7,500 votes suddenly. Now, Nicholas, and I will give you some more information on her because she has a very interesting, very controversial background. She says, I'm thankful that this error was caught early in the process. Early? Okay. This is not a case of extra ballots being found, she says. This is human error, which I apologize for, which is common, Nicholas said, her voice wavering as she spoke to reporters. That comes from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Within the past hour, she said she reviewed numbers from all of the other municipalities in the county to ensure that no other similar errors were made. She said she was not aware of any error of this size being made in any past elections in her county. Okay, John Washburn, first, before we go through the history of this Kathy Nicholas character, do you accept her explanation?
Well, I have trouble with accepting her explanation. I'll be honest with you, because I'm curious to know how the mechanics work. I've been furiously trying to look up every news article that talks about this access database she was dealing with.
Right.
And her story is that she sent out an Excel spreadsheet to all the city clerks and said, whatever you do, don't change the column arrangement. She claims the city of Brookfield did, so when it came back and Access sucked up the data from the Excel, many Excel spreadsheets.
Right.
The new columns that had been added had nothing in them. The city of Brookfield was zero because they changed the structure. It's like, I want to see these spreadsheets and I want to see this access data.
Well, yeah, and that's what you're good at with the records request, the open records request that you have been making for years as you've been watchdogging elections in Wisconsin and in particular in Milwaukee. So, but on election night, I mean, she wasn't reporting zero out of Brookfield, was she?
She claims yes, she was. So I'd like to see that too.
But they don't break down the reports on election night as far as municipalities go. They just give totals for the entire county.
My understanding was they did break them down by municipality to the Government Accountability Board, which is our highest election official.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a Secretary of State who handles elections. We have a board called the Government Accountability Board as
right.
the highest election officials. So again, it's one of those, as I'm listening to her news press release, I got to admit, I was thinking, okay, that's an open records request.
Yeah.
Okay. That's an open records request.
Well,
okay, that's an open.
if what she's saying is accurate, John Washburn, that in fact there were zero votes reported for Brookfield on election night until she discovered that today, then the reports that were turned in to the state, and I presume, John, they have to turn in reports to the state on election night with the unofficial numbers. Those reports should show zero in the Brookfield column, should they not?
I would guess. Again, I haven't had a chance to follow up on that because it's such a new breaking story.
I should make clear that I'm speaking with John Washburn, who calls himself, he's a self-professed Ron Paul Republican, and he has been watchdogging elections, the real kind of election integrity watchdogging, not the fake, crying voter fraud and acorn nonsense, but the real stuff. And we should note, John, you were a supporter, or at least a voter, of David Prosser, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So there, we just want to get that on the record. And when you're looking at this and saying, something is odd, it's not because you're a big left-wing pink-o-commie union thug, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, yeah.
Yeah, like, and again, the other thing that really pricked up my ears as I was listening to the news conference is what's with this Access database? She has a full copy of WinEDS, which includes a Microsoft SQL database. It's like someone saying, well, I've got a Cadillac in the office, but the problem happened when our little soapbox derby car broke down.
No,
what?
No. When, so folks understand, that's all right. WinEDS is an election administrator program. I think it comes with the Sequoia software,
Sequoia,
doesn't it? Yeah, because most of the towns in Waukesha use... I'm sorry, Waukesha. I keep saying that. In Waukesha, use.
Don't worry, you're not the only one to pronounce it that way.
I figure, but it lets you know I ain't from there. Anyway, they use Sequoia systems in much of that county, most of the municipalities there.
Every municipality except for one.
Yeah, and we should point out the kind of good news that I've been pointing out for the last day or two is that most of the votes cast in Wisconsin are cast on paper ballots, hand-marked paper ballots. A lot of them, the bulk of them, are then counted by computers, so they're not actually counted by human beings, so we kind of have to trust in Diebold and Sequoia and ESNS and these companies who make these machines. But there are paper ballots that, theoretically, if the chain of custody is secure, we can go back and count and make sure everything is on the up and up. Now, yeah.
As you know from my open records activism since 2004, it's those chain of custody issues that I usually focus on that where things go awry.
They certainly have, and you have shown quite a bit of that. All right, John, I got to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll give you a bit of the history of this Kathy Nicholas. It's rather extraordinary. She keeps all the totals on her personal computer in her office. Yes, much more straight ahead, Brad, on The Molloy Show. Ground control to Waukesha County Clerk Kathy Nicholas. What the hell is that lady thinking? You're listening to The Mike Molloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. Covering this incredible story tonight, breaking news out of Wisconsin, that 14,000, more than 14,000 votes have suddenly been found in that Wisconsin Supreme Court election. Giving David Prosser, who is supported by the Republicans, and Scott Walker, suddenly giving him more than 7,000 votes, a lead over Assistant Attorney General Joanne Kloppenburg. We're speaking with John Washburn, who I will point out again, describes himself as a Ron Paul Republican. He's a election integrity advocate from Fair Elections of Wisconsin. I've known John a long time. He has guest blogged at the Brad Blog. Don't let that R fool you. This guy is the real deal. He calls him as he sees him, and he is smelling something funny tonight coming out of Waukesha County. Okay, John, we're going to run up against the top of the hour. Can you stay over past the break at the top of the hour here, John? Let me try that again. John, there you go. Are you able to?
Yes, I can.
You can. All right. Our phone number, if you have any questions on this matter, is 877-520-1150. We'd love to hear from you. 877-520-1150. Between John Washburn and myself, we can tell you, well, a lot about how elections work and or at least how they should work. Okay, John, let me back up a moment very quickly here on Waukesha County Clerk Kathy Nicholas. We covered her last year at bradblog.com, August of 2010, when she came under some fire after her unique election procedures were discovered. Among those unique election procedures was the fact that she keeps everything, all of the election results for the entire county, on her own personal computer in her office. which no one else has access to. She also, there are the three employees, all the employees apparently have the same user ID and password, and this caused the county clerk to, the county executive board to put her under an audit last year. But this is what she said before the audit. She said, Waukesha County, Kathy Clerk, this is from the Journal Sentinel, as we reported last year at Bradblog. Kathy Nicholas' decision to go it alone in how she collects and maintains election results has some county officials raising a red flag about the integrity of the system. Nicholas said she decided to take the election data collection and storage system off of the county, off the county's computer network, and keep it on standalone personal computers accessible only in her office. For security reasons, she says, quote, what it gave me was good security of the elections from start to finish without the ability of someone unauthorized to be involved, she said. John Washburn, do you what do you think of that, of keeping anybody from overseeing the elections, anybody other than Kathy Nicholas?
Well, it's funny you mention that, because she had called me earlier to speak on her behalf because she couldn't actually make that particular board meeting. And I basically called it, I believe, the secret squirrel approach to security, which is hide everything.
She really called and asked you to speak instead of her?
Well, she had a prior engagement and couldn't actually speak at that particular board meeting. And so she asked, again, like you said, people trust my judgment, and I call them like I see them.
Right.
And she said, and in her defense, she is doing what Sequoia has told her. Don't let your computer touch a network. Don't let it touch any other computer, because then you can't control access to it.
Right.
So to that extent, she's, I think she is zealously pursuing what she thinks is the best approach, but I don't think it is the best approach.
Security.
We disagree.
Security by obscurity, they call it. Security by obscurity. It don't work. All right, John Washburn, stick around. We're going to get to your calls as well. 877-520-1150. You're listening to Brad Friedman on the Mike Malloy Show with John Washburn. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. 6 minutes after the hour, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, election integrity advocate, especially tonight from bradblog.com, drafted into duty to be your broadcast media on a big news night as the budget showdown continues tonight. It looks like there will be no deal. President Obama came out a little bit earlier, says they've made some progress. Differences have been narrowed, but still no deal for tonight as they head to the deadline tomorrow. We are now covering still this stunning news out of Wisconsin tonight, the Wisconsin Supreme Court elections, where 14,000 votes were suddenly found in Waukesha County by the controversial, to say the least, controversial county clerk. Republican activist Kathy Nicholas in Waukesha County. She has been criticized. We've been following her for some time at Brad Blog, so this is not new to us. Although when I was speaking with my guest, who stays with me here, John Washburn, when I was speaking with him earlier today, and we heard word that there might be a few more votes that Prosser, David Prosser, the Republican incumbent, that he had taken a lead by some 20 votes. I said, gosh, I wonder if that's Kathy Nicholas's county. And, well, little did we know at that time that we would end up seeing thousands of votes coming out of nowhere. John Washburn stays with me here. He is an election integrity advocate himself. He is a self-described Ron Paul Republican, by the way. He's an award-winning open records activist, and he's a supporter of David Prosser, just so as you know. Okay, our phone number is 877-520-1150 if you have any questions about all of this. And you can tweet us at The Brad Blog. We are The Brad Blog on Twitter. Or stop by bradblog.com and join the chat room, which is hopping there as usual. Okay, I think that's all the business out of the way. John, thanks for sticking around here to talk about all of this.
No problem. And
yeah, go ahead.
You know, the other significance of the 7,500 number is who pays. I think you might want to bring that up.
Yeah, good point. Go ahead. You've already begun. Go ahead.
Well, since there's 1.5 million votes cast, mm-hmm. 0.5% is 7,500. You know, using all those nice round numbers, you know they're not that round.
Right.
But the way the recount statute is written in Wisconsin is if the vote total is within 0.5%,
right,
then neither the petitioner doesn't pay. It's essentially taxpayer funded. If it's between 0.5% and 2%, then it's $5 per ward.
Okay.
And there's 1,800 some odd wards.
Right.
Maybe that's polling locations. Might be more wards. I'd have to double check that. But it suddenly becomes some serious money.
Right.
And if it's more than 2%, then you're paying the full cost, period.
Okay.
So 7,500 is the cusp of no pay.
Mm-hmm.
So for whoever files for the recount.
So this means,
which at this point would be Ms. Kloppenburg.
Kloppenburg, yeah. Now, so because it's, what is it, 7,500 votes is essentially the cutoff here?
Yeah, if it, like I said,
the margin.
Round numbers, 1.5 million.
Okay.
0.5% of 1.5 million is 7,500.
And as it turns out, coincidentally, with these results suddenly coming in from Waukesha, he has just, I think, just over 7,500 vote lead now suddenly after trailing by 204 yesterday, right?
Correct.
Okay. And
doesn't help the aroma at all.
No, it certainly doesn't. And, you know, I'm not saying we've got foul play here, but I'm pointing out what is going on and the fact that she is, Kathy Nicholas, is a Republican activist. She's come under some a great deal of scrutiny, actually. We covered her at bradblog.com last year, August of 2010. And then she was audited by her own county board, who looked at this and looked at the fact that she keeps the results, the election results, on a single computer inside her office. And they found a lot of problems with that. She was not doing backups of this material at all. And when the audit came out last, actually, I think January of this year.
Right.
Now, you have actually spoken for her. You said in the last hour you've spoken for her at some of these county meetings, John Washburn.
Well, at one.
One of them.
And it was the initial one where they were deciding if to do the audit or not. She had a conflict and couldn't come. And her understanding was is that the only question had to do with security issues.
Mm-hmm.
Could I speak about security? Since that is something I can competently speak about. When I got there, it was more about the backup procedures, disaster recovery, and other issues. So I'm not sure I'm not sure I was as strong an advocate as she was hoping for.
because
she needed someone. She, again, knew that I would speak honestly about what I thought was good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she asked me.
And we should tell people, you're an IT guy for a living, right?
I test computer software for a living, make sure it works to spec.
Okay. So
if you ever want to have your eyes glaze over about how software and voting machines is tested, I could do that.
We
too,
could call
that's
you.
Not for here.
All right.
That's not for here.
You know, but that's for washburnsworld.blogspot.com if you're interested. Okay. So this audit did end up happening last year, and they found a lot of problems. They came back in January with a lot of problems and records. recommendations for changes that she, Kathy Nicholas, make to her election system. The county clerk in Waukesha County, where suddenly all of these votes, 14,000, have shown up suddenly. Give us a very quick sort of the top points, John Washburn, of the recommendations that were made after this audit, and then I'll give listeners an idea of how she responded, rather extraordinary response to these recommendations.
Yeah, the recommendations were pretty much three major ones. One was upgrade the hardware that the Win EDS system was on, and that's the central election management system used for Sequoia for every municipality in Waukesha County except for Menominee Falls.
That's Win EDS, and they have paper ballots for almost everybody, and Win EDS essentially is the administrative tool, a spreadsheet, a database that keeps track of all the votes, right?
It's the central system from which all of the programming is sent out to the optical scanners and then from which they return to the mothership on election night.
All right. And instead of tallying the numbers there, it seems she was tallying them in Microsoft Access. Okay.
Correct.
So they recommended that she use Win EDS instead of Microsoft Access.
No. They recommended that the hardware upon which that software was running be upgraded to something a little more modern.
Okay. Because her machine, the computer that she stores all is like a 1995 PC in her office.
Right, and some of the things one of the computers she's using to read cards is actually a DOS-based system.
To read cards, meaning ballot cards?
The removable memory packs that are coming in from the Optic Eagles and the Sequoia Edges and things like that.
Okay, the cards, the memory cards that are at the polls that store how the ballots have been scanned, that store the results, they come back and to the county. Right, okay.
There's much more on there than results.
Of course,
yes.
Right.
And so that particular computer, the DOS-based one, they really wanted it upgraded to something with a much more modern operating system. But they still recommended the hardware be upgraded. And then on the main server that had WinEDS, they wanted all of the security patches and basically be applied. And the last main recommendation was that the machine even periodically be made available for backups for the countywide disaster recovery program so that should the courthouse flood, most people don't realize how close the Fox River is. It's up on a hill, but you never know. Disasters happen. Fires happen.
Yep.
And so the county has a very, very extensive program for what they call disaster recovery. We got to do these backups, and we got to practice doing restores.
Right.
They wanted to include her equipment within that program.
And she did not want that.
Correct.
This was the response that Kathy Nicholas gave at a county board meeting with the executive committee, as it was reported in the Journal Sentinel in January of this year. This is how it was reported. Several committee members said they were uncomfortable with Nicholas's refusal to adopt the recommendations. She said she would do it if she could, if it was convenient, I think was the word she used. So she said, during one part of the discussion, Dwyer, one of the folks on the executive committee, erupted in exasperation, the chairman of the executive committee. He erupted in exasperation at Nicholas's facial expressions. Quote, "There really is nothing funny about this, Kathy," he said, raising his voice. "Don't sit there and grin when I'm explaining what this is about. Don't sit there and say I will take it into consideration," he said, asking her pointedly whether she would change the passwords because she was using the same passwords for all of her employees to access this system. She said, she responded by saying, quote, "I have not made my decision." After supervisors continued to press the issue, Nicholas indicated she would create three different passwords. This isn't that big of a deal. It isn't worth an argument, she said. This is ridiculous. So Nicholas also said she would make her own assessment of when to back up computer programming for election ballots and store the more frequent backup in another building as the auditors recommended. So she's fighting with her own county about this stuff, John Washburn.
That is correct. And I suppose, to her defense, she is carrying to the far extreme, and I have trouble defending it, but she's carrying to the far extreme the Sequoia recommendations. Don't let that computer touch anything.
Well,
more of the kind of security by obscurity. You know, you can't touch anything, can't use any modern backup techniques.
Yeah, don't touch anything. Don't use backups.
Yeah, there are problems there.
Problem. There are problems there. That's the headline tonight at Brad Blog when we're done here, John. All right, you're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. We're coming back with your calls, 877-520-1150, on this stunning news out of Wisconsin. Speaking of disasters, we're going to be speaking Fukushima a little bit later in this show. Boy, oh boy. Big show tonight here on the Mike Malloy Show. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In for Malloy. Stay tuned.
Tuesday in November. Took that stroll to cast my ballot at the local poll. The lines were long, but I didn't care. I had water, a hat, and my folding chair. Walked up to the booth, didn't say a word. Was sure that my voice would be heard. I hit that button, my vote was sent. But now nobody knows exactly where it went. They lost my vote. It isn't fair. I took a doesn't anybody care? Then lost my ballot.
Now we know where it went.
Do you know where did my ballot go?
Apparently it went to Waukesha County, Wisconsin. That's where all the lost ballots from Ohio go. They just go north right up to Wisconsin. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com on the Mike Malloy Show here tonight, talking about this extraordinary breaking news out of Wisconsin. More than a 7,000-vote lead now for David Prosser after 14,000 votes were found in Waukesha County, where you've got this rather controversial election county clerk there, Kathy Nicholas. We're joined by John Washburn, a Republican himself, occasionally lapsed, perhaps. I don't know. But he also knows Kathy Nicholas has spoken somewhat on her behalf in the past. And he says something don't smell right about all of this and the fact that Prosser is now up by just enough to ensure that if there is a recount, it will have to be paid for by the challenger, Joanne Kloppenburg. Let's get to some calls here, John. If you're good with that, you want to take some calls?
I'm good with it.
All right, because the phone lines are lit up here. 877-520-1150. Dave in Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Dave, and thank you, sir, for holding.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm enjoying the conversation. I got a couple quick questions. Is there an open meetings violation for the delay during which time that Nicholas found out that she had made a mistake and then conferred with people on who to release the information to?
Let's do one at a time here. John, sure. Washburn, any response to that?
I guess when was the conferencing going on, between her and like the Government Accountability Board, or during the canvassing of the county canvass that was going on since yesterday? I'm just curious.
I think there was a delay in between those times, and then she was conferring with folks on whether this was accurate and how to release that. And then Christian Snyder from the right-wing Wisconsin Public Research Institute is the first person to release this information.
Yeah, and that did come out prior to her press conference, and I don't know.
Yeah, about 20 minutes prior.
Right.
I don't know. It depends. First off, I know that the county canvass was actually done as part of an open meeting. That was actually fairly well documented. But I don't know all of the details of when they like went into closed session or not, or when they did the conference. So I guess the answer is I can't answer because I don't know enough.
Okay, Dave, I've only got about less than a minute here. Can you get your second question in, or should I hold you through the break?
Maybe I can get a better answer.
I would just tell you that to look at the fact that Access will not import an Excel spreadsheet with different column numbers. It would ask you repeatedly if you can do that, and then it wouldn't do it at the end. There's something really wrong with her explanation of that database, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dave. Thoughts in about 15 seconds or so there, John?
I agree. There's, when I was listening to that press conference as I was driving home, I was just like, what? I was saying that more than once to nobody in particular. And
we'll repeat it again. You were a supporter of David Prosser's, presumably still are. Speaking with John Washburn about this news in Wisconsin, what we have done is move some things around. We were supposed to speak with Tyson Slocum from Public Citizen this hour about Fukushima news. We're going to move him to the next hour. Keep John around. John, you can stay, right?
Yes, I can.
All right, because we got a bunch of phone calls, a bunch of questions for you. Brad Friedman with John Washburn, who is in Wisconsin on this remarkable night on The Molloy Show. Stay tuned.
Time I was on my way. Thanks to you, I'm much obliged.
Sure it is. Promises, promises. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Molloy with my guest tonight, John Washburn. I'll be joined in the next hour by Tyson Slocum of Public Citizen to discuss the latest news out of Fukushima. They had a big aftershock there today, 7.1 on the Richter scale. And what the hell is going on at Fukushima, if they're getting the radiation under control, and what we can expect back here in these United States. But for now, John joins me as we continue to discuss this, we'll call it an anomaly in Wisconsin. He is an award-winning open records activist from Wisconsin, an election integrity advocate who I have known here for years. I trust this guy implicitly. He's also an IT expert, and he happens to be a Republican who supported David Prosser, who is now, thanks to some newly discovered votes, 14,000 of them in Waukesha County by County Clerk Kathy and Republican activist Kathy Nicholas. Prosser is now in the lead. The balance of the Supreme Court is now 4-3 in favor of Republicans. That would have switched had had Joanne Kloppenburg won this election. She may still win it. We don't know. Who knows what other surprises are out there. But John Washburn, I was going to have you on before this news broke to talk about John Fund, this Republican creep, frankly, who comes out and yells voter fraud in every single election. And right on cue, he came out today and he was saying, oh, there's voter fraud. He didn't use the word acorn, but he might as well have. There's voter fraud going on in Milwaukee, very serious concerns of this and that, and basically making crap up on Fox News. Imagine, John, had 14,000 votes suddenly showed up in a Democratic county, giving Kloppenburg a 7,000-vote lead. Can you imagine the Sturm und Drang on the right with your friends, John?
Well, we'd be scraping him off the ceiling with a spatula because he'd be hitting it so hard.
Yeah, they would. I mean, this is what they did. You know, when there was 32 votes that they thought showed up in the Franken-Coleman race back in Minnesota. All right. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things that this particular drama demonstrates is the just absolute folly of listening to unofficial results.
Yeah.
You know, basically, why should the AP care? And why should the GAB facilitate? Why not just tell them buzz off until we do a real canvas and look at everything properly? But we're just, as Pogo said, we're part of the problem. We want to know those answers.
Well, that's exactly, yeah, that's exactly on election night. We have to know them. And I kept pointing that out, that, you know, these optical scan systems that are used across most of the state using paper ballots in most of the state are frequently wrong. They're just they scan inaccurately. There's all kinds of problems.
I have video on my YouTube channel where the number it's displaying on the front LED doesn't match the number it printed on its own paper tape.
These are the systems that we're talking about. So when we report on it at bradblog.com, we always say, you know, AP is reporting blah, 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 rather than saying that such and such actually won. All right, I got tons of callers here. Let me try to get to as many as I can, if you don't mind. Let's go to, where am I here? Jane in Marshall, Wisconsin. Hey, Jane, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi there.
Howdy.
What's on your mind, Jane?
Driving home tonight, this is the first I've heard of this, my husband and I, and we're pulled over. Many questions have come up listening to all the conversation going on, and watching the election coverage at 8 o'clock at night when everything starts coming across the news, there's numbers for all the counties, there's numbers for all the different municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
How come none of this showed up with zeros? None of this showed up that there was a problem. And yesterday morning, they were only reporting one of our 3,600 polling places had a problem.
That's right. I mean, they had been reporting that 100% of the precincts are now in and so forth. John Washburn, how can it be that nobody noticed zero votes from the city of, which city was it here? That was
Brookfield.
Yeah.
And that's one of the top 10 municipalities in the state of Wisconsin. It's not a small municipality.
And so I find it hard to believe that there was zero votes and nobody noticed it. I know that you have been given awards for the public records requests you make. We need to find out whether there were numbers previously reported for Brookfield or not at this hour.
Again, I don't understand how that can happen. And as I said, as I was driving home, I'm thinking, well, that's an open records request.
Jane,
so,
yeah.
I don't have good answers. I don't see – the mechanics here just baffle me as how this can happen. I want more details. But, well, okay, walk me through from 8 o'clock April 5th to 5:30 today.
Yep.
What was happening?
And that's going to
take me out that timeline.
That's going to take some time to do. Jane, I appreciate the call there. I wish we had a better answer for you at this hour. We don't.
I appreciate it. You know, and my other, you know, just thinking as we're driving here and listening and the whole works, the numbers that are being presented, 14,300 some odd votes.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's up by 7,500 votes. Well, you know, doesn't she get 75 or, you know, 7,000 votes also going her way? So why isn't it, you know, why aren't the numbers adding up?
Well, what it is it's the whole of the city of Brookfield is 14,000 and change. And Prosser got approximately 10,000. Koppenberg got approximately 3,500. So the net difference is 7,500.
Just over. It gave him a net of 7,582, which coincidentally is the cutoff mark for a state-paid recount.
Right. I think the way it would work is the city of Brookfield was like a net of 7,200 plus the slight lead he had before adds up now total to a 7,582.
And Prosser was posting on his website that they wanted money donations in case we needed a recall vote.
Yeah. Recount. Yeah.
Recount. I'm just kind of, it just smells really funny, and I live in a farming town, so I know what smells like.
You know a funny smell. Jane, I got to roll. Thanks. I appreciate the call. Stay safe out there. Let me get to another caller here. Where are we here? Mark in Washington. There we go. Mark in Washington. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What is on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm from, first of all, I don't agree with this guy. It should matter, you know, whoever wins as long as it's an honest election. But this, if it was the other way around, exactly opposite, I would still feel the same way because I wanted her to win. But if this happened the opposite way, I would still be wondering, just like he's doing, you know, what's up? You know, something ain't right.
Yeah.
And
walk me through that timeline.
Now, I'm from Florida over there. Now, I got some serious questions. It is sounding better the more I hear exact amount where they don't have to do a recount. You know, that's That's an interesting little add in there.
It is quite a remarkable. Mark, I got a lot of folks online. Do you have a specific question for John Washburn?
What exactly can be done? What are they going to do about this, and what can be done? And I sure hope somebody, you know, looks into this a little closer.
Oh, I think a lot of people are looking. So, good question.
What can be done, and what is going to be done about that?
Thanks, Mark. What are the legal options at this point, as far as you know them, John Washburn, or at least what are the procedural steps at this point?
Well, the first procedural step is that the canvas has to complete, which it technically hasn't. City of Milwaukee and County of Milwaukee haven't completed their canvas. And then within 3 business days, someone has to ask for a recount. That's the procedural.
3 business days after the canvas is completed. And that takes...
After the last canvas is complete. So it's probably going to be tomorrow or Monday when that'll happen.
When the canvas is complete. Now, we had expected these numbers to juggle around and to change a bit as they canvas, as they go back, check the machines, check their totals, check their... I think there was another error that was found also in Waukesha, where instead of 32 votes... In New Berlin, right? Instead of 32 votes, it was like 232 votes or something like that,
right?
Hey, I got
one more thing if you got a chance.
Very quickly, Mark.
Yeah, I've been on my little laptop computer in the back. I've got about another 17,000 votes for her sitting in the back on my computer. We can use them.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate that. Take care. Okay, so and at that point.
That's not such a joke. That's the scary part.
Well, that's how they found these. It's remarkable. There needs to be an explanation, and I suspect somebody will be demanding one. But so the canvas finishes. Then there's a 3-day period in which she can ask for a recount. It does not have to be statewide. It can be specific counties.
Yes, it could even be down to the ward and municipal level if she were inclined to do so.
And will they count the votes by hand, the paper ballots by hand at that point, or do they just run them through the same machine, John?
No. The recount procedure says if the ballots are distributed to electors, the... Oh, wait, sorry. It basically says that it's going to be run through the machine here again.
But as I read those recount laws...
But what they'll do is they'll first what the true fight will be is what is going to go through the recount, what's going to go through the machine for the recount, what's in and out for that.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
Well, if the ballots have been distributed to electors and then run through the tabulating machines, the recount of the ballots will be done with the automatic tabulating equipment. Mm-hmm. So the true fight is going to be essentially what ballots to refeed through and which ones not to.
Wouldn't they refeed all ballots through?
You would think so, but I suspect that will be a point of contention.
Okay,
that's just what I'm saying. I can't see how it won't be.
Well, my understanding is that in Wisconsin, a court order is required to have a hand count of votes. I would hope the court in this case would require a hand count. That said, even without that, I was going through the procedures, the laws for recounts in Wisconsin, and the candidates are allowed to examine each and every ballot before it is fed back into the optical scan machine. So if it is not an out-and-out hand count, it seems to me that's we'll call that a virtual hand count.
Right, and what they're looking for is those ballots for which the machine might have difficulty reading. Like, for example, someone's marked with their red pen,
which
the infrared scanners, which they say they're optical, but they're actually infrared, they would have trouble with red ink. And so they might have gone through the election the first time as no mark registered, whereas there actually is a mark.
Let me get
that kind of stuff they're in looking for.
Gotcha. Let me get to Mike in Buffalo. I got to get to a break, Mike. So very quickly, your question for John Washburn.
Yeah, can they confiscate her computer and can they redo this election?
Thanks, Mike. John, can they confiscate? They seems like they ought to. Somebody ought to be quarantining that computer at this point. No.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure. I think the answer to both is no.
Well, they can certainly quarantine it with a court order. I suspect.
Yes, you would have to have a judicial order of some sort, but. Beyond that, no, I don't think there's any real provision for that.
Seems to me Joanne Kloppenburg ought to get such a court order. All right, stick with us, John Washburn. We're going to get to as many calls as we can after this break. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Still talking Wisconsin. Stay with us.
who's watching me.
Yeah. You know who's watching? John Washburn. He's always watching, award-winning Open Records activist, election integrity advocate with Fair Elections of Wisconsin, and a David Prosser supporter in this remarkable turn of events in Wisconsin tonight that we're covering. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. 877-520-1150. John, I'm going to try to fly through as many calls here as I possibly can. Neil in Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Neil. What's on your mind?
I just looked at the number that she was at Kloppenburg was given for votes at 3456. That would be an awful easy number just to pull out of a hat.
3456.
I never. No one caught that. That's what she was given in her new vote.
You're right.
3456.
You're right. I'm looking at it. That is. That was. Yeah. He got 10,859. She got 3456.
And I have one other question. Maybe you can answer off air.
Okay.
Could the feds step in and investigate this? Would this fall into their area?
Okay.
I'll hang up and listen then.
We'll try to get to both. Thanks for the call. John, any red flags go up there with the number 3456?
I hadn't noticed that, I'll be honest with you, but they are right next to each other on that top of the keyboard there.
3456, and the result is he gets the lead with 7,582, and I don't know what the exact number is to avoid the state paying for the recount, but it's...
Yeah, I don't know what the exact total is, but like I said, round numbers... 1.5 million, 7,500 is the cutoff.
7,500,
so,
yeah.
As for the feds, well, it's not a federal election, so they certainly don't have that jurisdiction. So you'd have to come up with something under the Civil Rights Act or the National Voting Rights Act.
Voting Rights Act, if there was a violation there.
Yeah, I'm not sure I see anything that would lead there yet.
Yet, but the week is young. Let me get to very quickly.
Things change fast here.
They do, apparently. Lively state you live in up there, John Washburn. Bruce in Santa Paula, California. Very quickly, what is your question for John Washburn?
It's just a comment that I was watching the election returns come in, the last roughly 10% of the vote. Mm-hmm. I've never noticed a 7,000 vote lead for either candidate during that entire period.
Well, you wouldn't have, because what she says is that she did not report those numbers originally.
No, I understand that. But yeah. My point is that during the regular election returns, there was it's a suspiciously large number.
I gotcha.
Okay, there was only 100 votes, 200 votes one way, mm-hmm. 300 votes the other way type of a thing, back and forth.
Got it.
But it never got to 7,500.
Very good.
Yeah, crested into the high 900s, I think, at one point, and that's about it.
Thanks, yeah. Bruce.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call. Let me try to get in Jason in Ohio, the Buckeye State. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Jace. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Brett? I was just going to say that if this clerk, I mean, we have the same problem with some of these rural counties in Ohio where they don't like to distribute the election data. Mm-hmm. So if this clerk would have published the summary reports that come out of whatever Sequoia uses for their tabulation results, like the previous clerk had put, the actual county-wide results, per township on the web. So she would have done that. She would have had this problem. But it looks like, she kept the actual county data to herself, and then nobody can point out to her, hey, you have a column there with zero votes in it.
Thanks, Jason, for the call. Yeah, the other way that this would have been avoided is if votes, ballots, paper ballots were hand counted on election night at the polling place. Then with the results posted before those ballots moved anywhere, there would be no question about the results in Waukesha.
Well, that's far from a rural county. It's the second most populous county in the state.
Yeah, right. So?
And next to Milwaukee County.
Yeah, so?
Well, like I said, he was saying like the rural counties hold out, and it's like, this doesn't match the rural county profile.
Right. Well, exactly.
But hand counting on election night in broad daylight or in public would mm-hmm. be good. You would certainly notice problems sooner and faster.
Yeah, you sure would, and we would not have these kind of questions. We would notice what the numbers were, and we wouldn't have zero totals because this stuff would be reported. Okay, I got to, folks, if you're staying, if you're on the line, stick on the line. I'll try to get to all your calls after this break. I got to let John Washburn go here. I'm going to have Tyson Slocum join me in the next hour to discuss Fukushima, but I want to get to everybody's calls as best I can. John, I appreciate your spending the extra time here tonight. I suspect we may be talking maybe even tomorrow, John. John Washburn.
Thanks for
the heads up. Yeah, well, let me keep me informed here. Washburnsworld.blogspot.com or fairelectionswi.com for more information. We will continue to follow this story. John, thanks for your time tonight, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
All right. As I say, if you're on the line, hang on there, and I'll try to get your calls right after we finish this break. You're listening to Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy on The Mike Malloy Show. Coming up a little bit later in this hour, I will be speaking with Tyson Slocum of Public Citizens Energy Program about the latest news out of Fukushima tonight, where there was a 7.1 magnitude earthquake earlier today. We'll find out how the crippled nuclear power plant is holding up and what that portends for the future in this country as well. That nuclear disaster, which I've been largely spending the better part of the last month looking at over at bradblog.com. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. One more hour here, one more night after this. We'll be back tomorrow, Friday, and then Mike and Kathy will return next Monday. Never fear. They will return, so you may start your rejoicing now. Although I don't think anybody's been that upset that I'm here. I did have some hate mail after our just one after our Friday April Fool's show last Friday. You can go listen to it at bradblog.com if you want. But somebody on Facebook wrote in to say, I hate you. They hate me. Our chat room, if you hate me or love me, is bradblog.com. Very lively conversation going on there, and I've not been able to keep up with a whole lot of it tonight with all this breaking news between this news out of Wisconsin, and I'll get to some remaining calls here on that in a moment, and the news out of Washington, D.C. on the budget standoff looking down the barrel of a federal government shutdown here. If a deal is not reached by tomorrow night, the president came out tonight and said no deal. No deal was made. He said in his meetings with congressional leaders that they made some progress, but and that the differences have been narrowed, he said. But there are a few issues still outstanding. He didn't go into details, and he says he's not prepared to express wild optimism. We spoke with Dave Weigel of Slate.com earlier in the show. He did not sound wildly optimistic either. So we'll see what happens tomorrow night, Friday night at midnight, whether the government shuts down and whether we've got to cancel our plan to go to Sequoia National Park next week. Okay. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. Let's get to Mark in San Francisco. Hey, Mark, thanks for holding so long. What is on your mind, sir?
Ah, yes. Thank you. Yes, what I wanted to say is that I heard on Norm Goldman's show
yes.
today that a caller called in from Wisconsin and was saying that the law in Wisconsin is that the paper ballot mm-hmm. is the law, that it is what is to be counted, meaning that I would assume that even if you have some electronic whatevers, they have to have the paper ballot.
All right, well, let me explain that. Now, that, unfortunately, is not entirely the case. Most of the state of Wisconsin does use hand-marked paper ballots. Most of the state then takes those paper ballots and runs them through an optical scan computer, which are often inaccurate. They're easily manipulated. I've got a clip from HBO's 2006 documentary, Hacking Democracy, which shows how easily these systems can be flipped entirely. If you don't count them by hand. All right.
By hand. But they have a law that says that the ballots that are finally official, always totally official, and Norman Goldman looked it up and said,
well, they may
correct.
Have that law. That may be the law, but the problem is, Mark, hang on.
Wait, I know, but listen to me, that the official final ballot is of paper, meaning if this woman in that count in that one area does not have paper ballots to prove it, and she should have them on her computer, then they are not considered official.
Well, okay.
Hang on, Mark.
We're not being clear here. The computer, the paper ballots would not be on the computer. They would exist physically. Now, what I would recommend for Joanne Kloppenburg is that she get a court order ASAP and have every single ballot confiscated in Waukesha County, including the computers, the county computers, the city computers, the tabulators, and everything else, and have those quarantined now, immediately. Now,
exactly.
That's not to say that there was a funny business or fraud here. We are pointing out tonight what is an extraordinary anomaly, and what I suspect folks on the right and John Fund, who lies about voter fraud and this nonsense all the time, this would absolutely make their heads explode. What I'm saying is this needs oversight. This needs citizen eyeballs. This needs the authorities to come in and quarantine the entire situation so that we can know for sure what happened here, find out if the chain of custody for these ballots was on the up and up. The county clerk, Kathy Nicholas, she has a history of not giving a damn what the public thinks and keeping people from allowing oversight to what she is doing. I'm sure she's a very swell person. I don't care how swell she is. Our country is not built on trust. It is built on oversight, checks, and balances. Okay.
But the one thing, let me just say this last thing.
Go ahead.
According to what Norman Goldman said, from what he looked up and everything, is that what will be considered valid and what will not in the ultimate end
is the paper ballots. We understand that.
I'm just saying that if that electronic machines that she brought in the last moment, have paper ballots, that's what only thing that can possibly count.
I got you, Mark.
By the law in Wisconsin.
Thank you, Mark. I got to go. Thanks, Mark. I appreciate it. And the fact of the matter is, yes, the paper ballot is the ballot of record, but that only means anything if there has been, a secure chain of custody, and, B, in the case of touchscreen systems, which are used for disabled voters who choose to use them, and in some cases where they run out of paper ballots at the precinct, as reportedly happened around Wisconsin, in those events, they use touchscreen systems, more accurately, direct recording electronic systems, which are 100% unverifiable. There is no way to verify that a vote was accurately recorded as per the voter intent on a direct recording electronic machine, a DRE machine. So whether they have a law saying there must be a paper ballot, and the paper ballot is the ballot of record, there is no paper ballot on a DRE. There is a little paper trail, as they call them, that prints out. And I'm not going to go into the details because we're running late already tonight. But that paper trail can similarly be gamed. It is not a hand-marked paper ballot. It is a paper record which may or may not reflect the way that the voter voted. Very quickly, let me get to Andy in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Andy, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Sir, what's on your mind?
Right here, Brad. I'm just saying, man, the ATM machine records every last little red cent. It doesn't matter if you're pulling money out of your hometown or if you're overseas. And I just can't understand why anyone would accept nebulousness as far as the vote tally goes, because the vote is more precious than the money.
You would think so, but let me answer your question off air, Andy. I appreciate the
it's
thought.
All right, bro. You're doing great.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Andy. No, the fact of the matter is, ATMs do have problems. ATMs have been hacked, including the ATMs of my friends over there at Diebold. That said, ATMs are not like voting machines, touchscreen voting machines, because with ATMs, everybody gets to look. There is transparency. You get to look on this side. The bank gets to look on that side. There are records of everything that happened. That is not so when you're dealing with a secret ballot and a touchscreen voting machine, where as soon as you leave that booth, it is gone. And there is no way to verify if the machine recorded the vote the way that you had hoped it would be recorded. It's apples and oranges, which is why touchscreen direct recording electronic voting machines are antithetical to democracy, should never be used in any state, in any election, by any voter, period. Thankfully, in Wisconsin, we have mostly paper. But if we would bother to count the goddamn paper at the polls on election night in front of everybody by hand with video cameras and everything else at the precinct, post the results before those ballots moved anywhere, we wouldn't have this crap happening again and these questions about elections happening again. Hand-counted paper ballots are the gold standard of democracy. When you have a question about an election, you hand-count them in front of the public. Why don't we start doing that on election night instead of waiting till these problems come up, until waiting until democracy is once again threatened and confidence in the system is threatened by this crap happening over and over and over again? David in Los Angeles, welcome to the Malloy Show, sir.
Well, I'm having problems because this sounds just like 2000 Bush versus Gore, and it's a Republican. The fact of the matter is, I wouldn't trust these 14,000 ballots. The integrity of the system is compromised. It doesn't matter whether the person running is a Republican or Democrat. This is wrong. As a matter of fact, I would go to court and challenge this.
Well, of course, and I'm sure that Kloppenburg will. She damn well should. And frankly, I don't care. Thanks, Dave, for the call. I do appreciate it. I don't care whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. I supported Joe Miller in Alaska, for Christ's sake, when he had the very similar questions about the results in his election for senator last November. These are not questions of right and left. These are questions of right and wrong, period. And if we want to have democracy in this country, we better damn well figure that out, and we better damn well figure that it takes transparency to make sure you have a clean election that the citizens, the supporters of every candidate, can trust. I got to take a break. Brad in from Malloy. Susan, stay there.
There must be some way out of here. Said the Joker to the thief. There's so much confusion, I can't get no relief.
Trying to clear up that confusion. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 23 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker, and election integrity advocate, and did I underline citizen citizen who would like transparent elections that Americans can oversee and that we can know, no matter who you voted for or against, that we can know the results are accurate. How many years have I been asking for this? How many years have I been showing in article after article after article at bradblog.com all of these problems that we run into every election? I'm getting tired of it. I've been getting tired of it for years. Tyson Slocum of Public Citizen is going to join us to talk me off the ledge, you know, about something less crucial. Nuclear disaster. That'll be after the bottom of the hour. Susan, our own Four Earth, joins us. Four Earth, who helps us moderate the bradblog.com chat room during the live shows. She calls in with a question, and I'm so glad to hear from you, Susan. Welcome to the Molloy Show.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, Susan.
I, too, happened to be listening to Goldman this afternoon when he looked up that law.
Mm-hmm.
And the caller had it kind of right, but not completely accurate.
Mm-hmm.
What Goldman said, the law says, now whether, you know, whether Wisconsin goes by it or not, that's up to them. But what it said, and he read the line of the law and then explained it. There still are some touchscreen machines in some of the counties in Wisconsin.
Right.
And the law says that they must back up those with paper ballots and like a receipt thing, and that in the event
mm-hmm.
of a recount, that paper receipt thing
right.
has to be considered
counted.
An official ballot.
Understood. Okay.
And if it is not present, then the votes on that machine cannot be counted.
Well, that's nice. That's a swell way to just to throw away those. Those are called
right.
voter verifiable paper audit trails.
Yeah, the paper audit trail.
You called them paper receipt thingies, but which is kind of close. When you originally called them paper ballots, they are not
ballots. No, they're not ballots.
And that's my point. That's why. Touchscreen systems that spit out a little, what'd you call them, receipt thingy, actually a voter verifiable paper audit trail.
Yeah, they're supposed to verify.
Those are right.
Do.
And
yeah.
No, they don't. They don't.
Well,
80% of the time, they don't.
According to Norman, the law says that they're supposed to spit out a receipt,
right.
and the person is supposed to look at the receipt,
right.
and then they're supposed to say whether it's accurate or not,
yes.
and then they're supposed to hand it to a worker who puts it in a box.
No, they don't hand it to a worker. It rolls up on a roll, and it stays on the machine.
Oh,
they don't
man.
Hand it. They don't touch it, and it can be easily gamed. Go to bradblog.com. Look up UC Santa Barbara Sequoia, and you will see exactly how you can game an election on a touchscreen
right.
system. Right.
When you put it up there.
One with a paper trail. I can
right.
tell you how to steal an election with a paper trail such that you can count 100% of the paper trails that aren't usually counted at all. You can count 100% and you can still scam the election undetectably.
This woman, and we're not accusing her of anything at this time, of course, but if this woman did happen to be the kind of person that would try to swing an election
mm-hmm.
by confusing the vote in some way, could she have run off a whole bunch of extra
Susan,
papers on a machine?
Susan, I only got 10 seconds I got to go. Thanks for the call. There's all kinds of things she could have done. The concern here is not necessarily the touchscreen machines. It's the paper ballots, the chain of custody. Yes, many could be created. That's why they need to be sequestered now. Stay tuned.
Ain't no button here. Where I die, I go. Ain't nobody tell.
I'm going to lean on Tyson Slocum here in a moment to talk me down from Wisconsin by discussing nuclear catastrophe instead. You know, a little lighter topic here to end the night. I am joined here now, finally, by Tyson Slocum. He's the director of Public Citizens Energy Program. He's an expert on the dangers and pitfalls of nuclear power. What pitfalls? And other fossil fuels. What pitfalls of other fossil fuels? He's also an advocate for cleaner, more sustainable energy alternatives. He is known for his understanding of the energy markets. And prior to Public Citizen, Tyson was a policy analyst at the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policies. I wanted to get an update. 4 weeks, we're almost a full month on now from the March 11th earthquake in Japan and the nuclear accident. Disaster, mess, whatever, at the Fukushima plant. So I wanted to get an update on that and bring us up to date on the latest and where things look in these United States. Hey, Tyson, there we go. Wait a minute. There we go. Hey, Tyson, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I thank you, by the way, for working with us tonight as all of this breaking news has forced us to juggle things around and to juggle you around, and I know it's late out where you are, so thank you for bearing with us here tonight.
It's my pleasure.
All right. We never have as much time as I wish we did now because of all this news, but let's get right to it. We had a 7.1 magnitude earthquake aftershock in Japan based off of Fukushima again today. Did that have any effect to what you're hearing to the mess they're already dealing with at the nuclear plant there?
No, not really. And we have to remember that the huge earthquake that happened last month actually didn't knock out the nuclear power plants either. It was only the 30-foot tsunami wave that crashed over the seawall that knocked out the backup power systems that's got us in the mess that we're in now. So thankfully, I mean, the Japanese are incredibly prepared for earthquakes. They build their facilities to code. And in the United States, plants are designed fairly well to deal with those types of earthquakes. But the thing with nuclear power is that you've got so many vulnerabilities within those systems. You've got so many variables that can go wrong, and when something goes wrong, it goes wrong in a very bad way. That's what we're seeing right now in Japan, and I think that despite some of the assurances by our president and by the industry, I do think that Americans deserve a harder look at some of the safety procedures and disaster plans and the amount of public financing that's going into maintaining and building our fleet of nuclear power plants.
Well, and Tyson Slocum, when you say that they're very good about building it to code in Japan and even here in the U.S., maybe they're good about building it to code, but the question is, what is that code, and is that code tough enough? In the case of the Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, they ignored thousands of years of data, apparently, concerning tsunamis and earthquakes at the Fukushima Daiichi plant. That some had tried to warn about, but they sort of looked the other direction. I see that similarly happening in this country at the San Onofre plant, at the Diablo, actually at a lot of these plants around the country where there are those who are concerned that the code is not tough enough. And it looks to me like often government regulators kind of look the other way as they seem to have done in Japan. Do you have those same concerns here in the U.S.?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have concerns that it is almost impossible to certify the safety of nuclear power plants. That's why the private market doesn't touch them with a 10-foot pole in terms of providing catastrophic risk insurance. Since 1957, Congress has continuously reauthorized a bill called the Price-Anderson Act, which, as Dick Cheney famously said in 2001, without the Price-Anderson Act, we would have no nuclear power industry in the United States. And what the Price-Anderson Act does is that it puts taxpayers rather than the owners of nuclear power plants on the hook for catastrophic costs associated with an accident or a terrorist attack. So, you know, I look at what the insurance markets say, and the insurance markets say there's no way that we will insure the operations of these. So, as a result, we, the taxpayer, take on that financial obligation, thereby relieving nuclear power plant owners of having to pay insurance premiums to operate their facilities.
So the government taxpayer dollars guarantee these, insure these companies, as well they guarantee the loans that are needed to buy these things in the first place, in a way that is, as Desi Doyen, my co-host and partner on the Green News Report, says, the most expensive way ever devised to boil water.
Yeah, that's actually what we're doing. We are creating these nuclear reactions to boil water, to generate steam, to turn a turbine to produce electricity. And right now, the price tag for a single new reactor is about $10 billion. And the point that we make at Public Citizen every day, and tomorrow I actually have a meeting with Ed Markey, a ranking Democrat on the House Energy and Commerce Committee, and we're going to be talking about the need to get away from taxpayer-backed loan guarantees in the tens of billions of dollars for just a handful of new nuclear power plants. Instead, we really got to be talking about helping to finance the rooftop solar revolution that America really needs to embark on if we're going to lead the 21st century energy revolution. We've got to turn all of our buildings into independent, clean power stations that doling out tens of billions of dollars in generous loan guarantees to a small handful of nuclear power plants. I just don't see that is a credible form of energy policy.
Okay, well, and I'm with you, but let me play the devil's advocate here.
Sure.
Proponents say that nuclear is clean, and you got to put quotes around that, clean at least as far as carbon levels go. It's certainly not clean with the waste, and certainly when they blow up and stuff. But if we're interested in lowering our carbon output that is driving global warming, don't we need to go to something like nuclear in the short term until we have a smart grid, until we have the kind of solar and wind energy and so forth that we would need to replace it?
Well, it's funny that you say the short term, because as we're seeing the huge construction costs and long construction lead times mean that it takes years, if not more than a decade, to build these facilities. And the construction lead times to quickly deploy renewables and aggressively invest in energy efficiency can have far greater immediate impacts on reducing greenhouse gas emissions and empowering consumers to take the lead in producing clean energy. Every time I look at nuclear power and I look at the massive price tag that taxpayers are being asked to assume, I think that there are more cost-effective investments for the public.
Do you feel...
Go ahead.
But, well, I was going to say, do you feel that given the same amount of money in the same amount of time, let's say $10 billion in the 10 years that it may take to build a plant, if that same $10 billion was put into solar and wind and so forth, do you feel that we could produce the same amount of energy that we're able to get out of a nuclear plant that would take that long to build?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question that we could. The question is whether or not we have the political will to do so. But you have to remember that policies that promote rooftop solar are not popular with electric utilities. If you're an electric utility, you make your money selling electricity to your customers.
Yep.
If all of a sudden your customers are producing their own energy from rooftop solar or becoming far more efficient in consuming energy and therefore consuming less, that is hostile to your business interests as a utility.
You mean if we use all that free energy falling from the sky, they don't care for that at the electric company? Go figure. Let me get to a call here because I know Tony has been waiting to talk to you. Tony, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Do you have a question for Tyson Sloan? Turn on your radio, Tony. Tony?
Yeah, I'm here.
There you go. Do you have a question for Tyson Slocum of Public Citizen?
Brad, I do. Thank you for having me on. And first, I just want to say my thoughts and prayers are with people of Japan, especially considering the fact that we just had this extra tremor today.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, Tyson, I'll make it quick. I don't want to guarantee nuclear.
Turn down your radio, Tony.
I don't want to guarantee nuclear. I just want to know what is it that what can you guys hear me now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. What is it that what can we do?
What can we do to do what, Tony? And you got to turn down your radio. What can we do to do what? All right, we got to go. I'm sorry, Tony. I got to let you go because that was just too difficult, and we're coming up against the clock. I think, Tyson, you've talked about what we can do. The question is, do we have the will to do it? And as I see and as I watch these floor fights, as we've seen over the last day or so over the EPA, I don't see us getting anywhere, no matter how much guys like Ed Markey are in there trying to do their best to move this ball forward. Do you really see this ball moving forward, Tyson, or are we going to have to wait for something to cause a sea change before we have any real change here in this country?
Well, it's a very unfortunate atmosphere here in Washington, D.C., because you've got the rise of the Tea Party and the continued polarization and radicalization of the Republican Party, in my opinion, and a hostility to science and to science-based policymaking. And that becomes very apparent when we look at the responsibility we have to listen to the scientists and deal with climate change, to reduce the rate at which we are burning coal and oil and other fossil fuels. And we've got sizable portions of the U.S. Congress that are sticking their heads in the sand and saying that we need to burn more oil, that we need to continue business as usual with our energy system, relying on coal, and it's a recipe for disaster.
It seems to me to be absolute madness, and I don't know how we're going to get out of this mess, Tyson. I really don't. With great advocates like you and like Public Citizen out there raising hell and fighting with the Democrats to get them to do the right thing, if they don't play along on the other side of the aisle, it seems to me we're screwed. Tyson, a Public Citizen, I know that you guys are now celebrating your, I think, 40th anniversary, and Public Citizen was one of the very first folks in the country, if I'm not mistaken, to actually stand up and advocate against nuclear power, trying to let folks know about those concerns. And I think you're celebrating your anniversary this month, this year. Am I right?
Right, yeah, this year. You know, we were, you know, Public Citizen, we're online at citizen.org. You know, we work on a huge array of issues,
mm-hmm.
but energy and climate is one of them. And like you said, back in the early 70s, we organized a critical mass movement that brought tens of thousands of activists to Washington, D.C. about nuclear power. And back then, it was easier to mobilize people about it because there was a direct link between the concern globally about the threat of nuclear war and the development of commercial nuclear reactors. As communism failed and the fall of the Soviets and the Berlin Wall passed, the fears about nuclear war passed, and as Three Mile Island and Chernobyl got farther and farther in our rearview mirrors, the ability to galvanize people about the very same risks and concerns that have always existed with nuclear power has abated, and particularly because a lot of major environmental groups stopped working on nuclear power and instead started prioritizing work on, you know, stopping coal and other fossil fuels.
Tyson, I got it.
That's a very important work.
I got to get out. I appreciate Tyson Slocum, citizen.org from Public Citizen. Tyson Slocum, thanks for your time tonight, brother. Really appreciate it. Keep up the fight. You're listening.
Hey, you got it.
You're listening to Brad on Molloy.
There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone who'll watch over me.
Somebody needs to watch over Waukesha County, Wisconsin, County Clerk Kathy Nicholas. Law enforcement needs to quarantine those ballots, those machines. But that is true for every ballot in the state of Wisconsin in every election. Citizens, you need to turn out and watch what your election officials are doing. My thanks tonight to engineer Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, brother. To good folks here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150 for hosting me. For Stephanie Miller for letting me sit in her chair, whether she knows it or not. Of course, to a producer, a screener, call screener, chat room babe, Desi Doyen. Thanks, Des. And to 4Earth, also chat room babing tonight. Much appreciated. If you're listening to MikeMolloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. Of course, my thanks to Mike and Kathy Molloy, as always, for allowing me to sit in. I'll be with you here one more night before the Molloys shall return next Monday. Also, my thanks tonight to my guests, Dave Weigel of Slate.com, John Washburn of Wisconsin, the great election integrity advocate up there. We may be talking to him tomorrow, too. We'll see. And, of course, to Tyson Slocum of Public Citizen at citizen.org. I want to thank all of you also for listening tonight. It's been a remarkable night. Still no deal in Washington when it comes to the budget showdown shutdown, which is barreling upon us tomorrow night, Friday night at midnight. And no oversight yet in the state of Wisconsin, where Justice David Prosser now leads by a little bit more than 7,500 votes, enough to keep the state from paying for a hand count, for a recount in any case, in that state, in that proxy battle election with Joanne Kloppenburg. Of course, we'll be staying on that tomorrow, I suspect, as well, certainly at bradblog.com, where you can find me. You can also Twitter me between now and then at TheBradBlog on the Twitters. Okay, we made it through tonight. Lord only knows what tomorrow will bring, but I hope you will join me for that tomorrow. My thanks to all of you, to all the callers, and to all the good folks in the bradblog.com chat room. You're awesome. What fun. One more night. All right, cats, we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, I'm Brad Friedman. Keep it lit.